bring you Living Prophecy, the old, old message in modern language. Today we're reading from the book of Daniel. Darius divided the kingdom into 120 provinces, each under a governor. And the governors were accountable to three presidents. Daniel was one of them, so that the king could administer the kingdom efficiently. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other presidents and governors, for he had great ability, and the king began to think of placing him over the entire empire as his administrative officer. This made the other presidents and governors very jealous. They began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling his affairs, so that they could complain to the king about it, but they couldn't find anything to criticize. He was faithful and honest and made no mistakes. And so they concluded, our only chance is his religion. They decided to go to the king and say, King Darius, live forever. We presidents, governors, counselors, and deputies unanimously decided that you should make a law irrevocable under any circumstance. For the next 30 days, anyone who asks a favor of God or man, except from you, Your Majesty, shall be thrown into the lions. Your Majesty, we request your signature on this law. Sign it so that it cannot be canceled or changed. It will be a law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. And so King Darius signed the law. But though Daniel knew about it, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs bedroom, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, and prayed three times a day, just as he always had, giving thanks to his God. Then the men thronged to Daniel's house and found him praying there, asking favors of his God. They rushed back to the king and reminded him about his law. Haven't you signed a decree, they said, that permits no petitions to any god or man except you for 30 days, and anyone disobeying will be thrown to lions? Yes, the king replied, it is the law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be altered or revoked. Then they told the king, that fellow Daniel, one of the Jewish captives, is paying no attention to you or your law. He's asking favors of this God of his three times a day. Hearing this, the king was very angry with himself for signing the law and determined to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day trying to think of some way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men came again to the king and said, Your Majesty, there's nothing you can do. You signed the law, and it cannot be changed. And so at last the king gave the order for Daniel's arrest. He was taken to the den of lions. The king said to him, May your God, whom you worship, continually deliver you. And then they threw him in. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring, that of the government, so that no one could rescue Daniel from the lions. Then the king returned to his palace and went to bed without dinner. He refused his usual entertainment and didn't sleep all night. Very early the next morning he hurried out to the lion's den and called out in anguish, O Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you worship continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Then he heard a voice, Your Majesty, live forever. It was Daniel. My God has sent his angel, he said, to shut the lion's mouth so that they can't touch me, for I am innocent before God, nor, sir, have I wronged you. The king was beside himself with joy and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den, and not a scratch was found on him because he believed in his God. Then the king issued a command to bring the men who had accused Daniel and throw them into the den along with their children and wives. And the lions leaped upon them and tore them apart before they even hit the bottom of the den. Afterward, King Darius wrote this message addressed to everyone in his empire. Greetings. I decree that everyone should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel in every part of my kingdom. For his God is the living, unchanging God, whose kingdom shall never be destroyed, and whose power shall never end. He delivers his people, preserving them from harm. He does great miracles in heaven and earth, It is he who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
The Lord our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
One night during the first year of Belshazzar's reign over the Babylonian Empire, Daniel had a dream and he wrote it down. This is his description of what he saw. In my dream, I saw a great storm on a mighty ocean, with strong winds blowing from every direction. Then four huge animals came up out of the water, each different from the other. The first was like a lion. It had eagle's wings. And as I watched, its wings were pulled off, so that it could no longer fly, and was left standing on the ground on 2 feet like a man, and a man's mind was given to it. The second animal looked like a bear with its paw raised ready to strike. It held 3 ribs between its teeth, and I heard a voice saying to it, "Get up, devour many people." The third of these strange animals looked like a leopard. It had on its back wings like those of birds, and it had 4 heads, and great power was given to it over all mankind. And then as I watched in my dream, a fourth animal rose up out of the ocean, too dreadful to describe and incredibly strong. It devoured some of its victims by tearing them apart with its huge iron teeth, and others it crushed beneath its feet. It was far more brutal and vicious than any of the other animals, and it had 10 horns. As I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. 3 of the first ones were yanked out, roots and all, to give it room. This little horn had a man's eyes and a bragging mouth. I watched as thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days, the Almighty God, sat down to judge. His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like the whitest wool. He sat upon a fiery throne, rotting on flaming wheels, and a river of fire flowed from before him. Millions of angels ministered to him, and hundreds of millions of people stood before him, waiting to be judged. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened. As I watched, the brutal fourth animal was killed, and its body handed over to be burned because of its arrogance against the Almighty God and the boasting of its little horn. And as for the other 3 animals, their kingdoms were taken from them, and they were allowed to live a short time longer. Next I saw the arrival of a man, or so he seemed to be, brought there on clouds from heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was presented to him. He was given the ruling power and glory over all the nations of the world, so that all people of every language must obey him. His power is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom shall never fall. I was confused and disturbed by all that I had seen, Daniel wrote in his report. And so I approached one of those standing beside the throne and asked him the meaning of all these things, and he explained them to me. These four huge animals, he said, represent four kings who will someday rule the earth. And in the end of the people of the Most High, God shall rule the governments of the world forever and ever. And then I asked about the fourth animal, the one so brutal and shocking, with its iron teeth and brass claws that tore men apart and that stamped others to death with its feet. I asked, too, about the ten horns and the little horn that came up afterwards and destroyed three of the others. The horn with the eyes and the loud, bragging mouth was stronger than the others, for I had seen this horn warring against God's people and winning, until the Ancient of Days came and opened his court and vindicated his people, giving them worldwide powers of government. The fourth animal, he told me, is the fourth world power that will rule the earth. It will be more brutal than all of the others. It will devour the whole world, destroying everything before it. His ten horns are ten kings that will rise out of its empire. Then another king will arise more brutal than the other ten and will destroy three of them. He will defy the Most High God and wear down the saints with persecution and try to change all laws, morals, and customs. God's people will be helpless in his hands for 3.5 years. But then the Ancient of Days will come and open his court of justice and take all power from this vicious king to consume and destroy it until the end. And then every nation under heaven and all their power shall be given to the people of God, and they shall rule all things forever, and all rulers will serve and obey them. That was the end of the dream. When I awoke, I was greatly disturbed, and my face was pale with fright. But I told no one what I had seen. Living Prophecies, the old, old message in modern language. Today we've read from the book of Daniel. Now here's a special invitation to join us again next week at this same time as we continue to read from Living Prophecies.